Hello, thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrig. We join our popular Latin lover, Carmelite, Father Reginald Foster, as he enlightens us on various aspects of Roman leisure time. How do you say Vatican Airways?
Oh, sunt onde aeree Vaticane.
That could be the radio waves.
Yeah, what are the airwaves? Aeterie, okay. Unde aeterie. Aetheriae.
How do you say charter flight?
Oh, charter flight. Volatus.
It's hiring an aircraft or a ship for a special purpose, no?
Ah. Oh, volatus peculiaris.
But charter, doesn't it come from carta?
To write up something, to register something, I imagine. A registered flight or something like that.
Well, there's some charter flights from Rome to the major holy sites. And the headrests in the aeroplanes bear the words from Psalm 27. I'm searching for your face, Lord.
Facem tuam quero, si. Yeah, facem tuam, Domine, quero. And that's on the headrests?
That's what I read.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Did the Romans have a tourist trade?
No.
How do you turn tourists into pilgrims?
Well, you give them a spiritual motive. That's what you do.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the Romans had pilgrims, no?
Well, pilgrims, as we understand, no, they didn't. Well, pilgrims to where? They had curious people who wanted to understand Roman history. That's one thing. Whether you'd call them pilgrims, I don't know.
So pilgrims and tourists were out for the Romans?
Yes.
How do you say that? In that?
For me, excludebantur. Peregrinatores et viatores. As I say, well, one or two examples, but really out here on the streets today, no.
One or two examples, like?
I mean, like one person wanted to come to Rome to see the historian Livy. You know, the great historian Livy. And he saw him and kissed his hand and he genuflected and he went back to Spain.
Who was this man?
I don't know who this guy. But he just came to Rome just to see the historian Livy. Well, if you want to call him a pilgrim, you can.
Well, he's more of a tourist, really.
Well, yeah, but he had this veneration for the historian Livy.
But, I mean, tourism is also about that. I mean, you do special tours to go back in history.
Yeah, it depends on what they are. Rome, you know, they have these cut-off buses now.
How'd you say a cut-off bus?
Est vehiculum amputatum.
And a double-decker bus.
Hey, no! Duovus cum ordinibus.
I like the vehiculum amputatum best.
Okay.
Maybe what a pilgrim does, as opposed to a tourist, is he bolsters or she bolsters her spirit, perhaps.
Well, yeah.
How do you say bolstering your spirit?
Sustentat, well, sustinet, well, fovet animum suum. Well, that's a different thing, you know. I mean, tourists just go from one city to another, but a pilgrim wants to come for, like, you know, spiritual nourishment or whatever you want to call it.
Coming to Rome, for example, peregrinatio ad Petri sedem.
Mm.
Did I get it right?
Yeah, that's down the street here.
No, what does it mean, though?
Well, okay, you say a wandering or a coming to the seat of Peter.
It was established in the mid-1930s by Pope Pius XI, who founded our radio station.
I didn't even know that.
And then Pope John Paul revised the statutes of the Vatican Pilgrimage Agency. How do you say pilgrimage agency? Vatican's pilgrimage agency.
Okay, Vaticana Societas Itineribus Componendis, for putting together trips. Oh, you can say everything in Latin. There's no problem there.
Did the Romans enjoy sort of tangible symbols when they went places? Like, you know, did they bring souvenirs back when they traveled? For example, I don't know, Mark Antony, when he came back to Rome, did he bring souvenirs for his relatives or things like that?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
How do you say souvenir in Latin?
Souvenirs and monumenta.
Like, for example, in the Forum, in the Roman Forum, you have all these souvenir sellers and things like that.
Today?
Yeah.
No, in Rome they did. I'm sure they didn't. Like pieces of hair from Claudius or something. No. The Romans didn't.
They didn't sell pieces of hair from Claudius in the Roman Forum. Come on.
Well, I don't know what they're selling today. I don't know. Postcards with relics or something. Don't ask me what they're selling.
How do you say Rome is a pilgrim's paradise?
Peregrinatorum paradisus. I really have to watch the time. What time is it?
It is 9:42.
Yeah, okay. 3 more minutes, that's it.
So, basically, the Romans were travellers, but not tourists.
Yeah, yeah. They probably didn't perceive the meaning of that, you know? I mean, they had the empire all over the world, but to go to some place to see, to bring back a chunk of Cleopatra, yeah, I really don't think they were that interested. Well, very good.
Wait a minute.
Someone was asking, when is your program now? It's been changed about 50 times.
Yeah. Oh, it's on Fridays.
Friday. Mm. Not Saturday, no. Sunday anymore.
No. How do you say employment of leisure?
Employment of leisure. OCE. Usurpatio.
Religion, of course, presided at the birth of every Roman holiday, no?
Oh, yeah.
How do you say that? Religion.
They were very superstitious.
But religion isn't superstition.
Well, that's what Lucretia said.
Lucretia claimed that...
That religion was superstition, or was nonsensical human nonsense.
How do you say nonsense in Latin?
Nuge, well, stupiditas.
So anyway, getting back to what I asked you, religion presided at the birth of every Roman holiday. How do you say that?
Nascenti omni celebritati Romane presidebat religio. There's the subject of the sentence. Mm. The Latinist in this can understand this.
Romans had that Marxist concept that, you know, that the empire made use and extended old religious festivals as a means of consolidating power over the masses.
I believe that.
So how do you say opium of the people?
Yeah, Popelli or plebis, opium. Well, there's something there. Hmm. They would scare them with religion. And keep things down with religion, and the emperor was religious, and the gods were talking with the emperor. So you're out, and the emperor is in. Got it? That whole mentality.
They were frightened that a people, I mean, the Romans were frightened that a people that yawns is ripe for revolt.
Ah, yeah.
How do you say that? A people that yawns
is ripe. Heons. Well, yeah. Heons or oscitans. Oscitans. Paratus est ad rebellionem.
In June, for example, in Rome, a fish fry for the prize winners of a fishing contest. Did you hear of that?
Yeah, I think maybe in passing in the newspapers.
Piazza in Piscina, maybe. A note of Festus indicates that it was really in substitution of fish for human victims.
Hey.
And he wrote, Pisciculi pro animis humanis.
Oh, little fish for in substitution for human spirits, for human souls. Or lives.
Then in October, there was a horse race in the Forum, the result of which betrays its primitive origin. Woe to the winner, Flamen.
Flamen, he was a priest.
Of Mars, sacrificed the luckless racehorse immediately after it had won the victory.
Oh, my.
So woe to the winner.
Yeah.
Meaning
yeah.
The horse. Poor
yeah,
horse.
Vae vincenti.
The luckless racehorse was sacrificed immediately after victory.
Ah.
Say that.
Yeah. Continuo post victoria machtabatur. Vincens equus. In Felix.
They salvaged the blood.
Mm.
How do you say that?
Servaban sanguine.
What do they salvage it for?
I don't know. To sprinkle. Like holy water. Used to sprinkle blood on sacrifices and everything.
But not on people.
Well, no, if they were sacrificing people, but otherwise on different victims, certainly.
And different Roman neighbourhoods contended the privilege of exhibiting on the walls of one of its buildings the trophy of the October horse.
Oh, Lord.
How do you say trophy of the October horse?
Trophaeum is Greek, of course. Trophaeum.
We'll find a Latin word then.
Equi Octobris.
Well, trophaeum. I don't like trophaeum. Use another word.
What are you going to say? Well, triumphus. No, that's Greek too. Okay. Laurea or monumentum. Monumentum. Equi Octobris. I never heard of these stories at all.
Well, it was to make people stop yawning. So they were. Because the people that yawns is ripe for revolt. So what games did you...
They had nothing else to
do. Tell me what your favourite game was in Roman times.
I don't like most Roman games at all. They were too cruel and nasty and wicked. Greek games were nice. like light athletics, which the Romans didn't have. We're massacring people with swords and animals and everything else. And even if you see Ben-Hur, like they had a chariot race and everyone's getting massacred. The Romans weren't cultured, you know. They were very crude and backward. The Greeks were cultured and they didn't have a Colosseum. The Greeks never had a Colosseum. And that's why they had the Olympics, you know, like light athletics, you know, and jumping and swimming and dancing and stuff. But the Romans didn't understand this. They were crude.
We started off by talking about Vatican Airways. In your opinion, if Romans became Christians and they wanted to go on a pilgrimage today, what site would they go to? What site would they choose to take their Vatican Airways to? Would they go to the Holy
Romans
Land?
Romans as Christians, well, they'd probably go to the Holy Land. I mean, I imagine they would go to the Holy Land. Some would go to Spain, like Compostela, but most of them would go to the Holy Land, obviously. Some would also go to Turkey, like the missions of St. Paul. There are nice things there, too, which was very interesting, to go to the different cities that St. Paul visited.
Oh. How do we know that he went to those cities?
Well, they're actually the apostles.
What would you call Vatican Airways in Latin, if you had to give it a title?
Well, I would say Aerea Societas Vaticana. Aerea Societas Vaticana. Vatican Air Group.
How would you say hostess?
Hostess, hospites.
Steward?
A steward, administre. These are ministre.
Pilot.
And pilot, okay. Gubernator. You can sell this stuff. That's easy. That's not our problem. Okay, dear, I have to go.
And a heartfelt thanks there to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, the Pope's own Latinist. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbury.